to the broadcast of our Savior Luther.
Welcome to the broadcast of our Savior Lutheran live and in person here at our Savior Port Huron, Michigan on WPHM 1380 as we are for the last 81 years and crossing the finish line at the end of April. We'll complete our 82nd year and start our 83rd year. So we welcome you to our broadcast. For those who are electronically connected, you'll hear us on a podcast on your pad, your phone, or a computer. And you can refer this broadcast and all of our broadcasts to your friends and your family. We know that with the condition within our nation, our communities, and the world with the COVID-19, that there is a order by the government for all of us to stay close to home and only for essential things. So this broadcast is essential for three of us here. So I share microphones with Cheryl Dorsbacher, my wife.
Oh, you have your own mic, dear.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, we can't. You've got to be 6 feet away from each other. So our mics are 6 feet away. Thank you, Cheryl, the nurse. And for Hope Dorsbacher, who's 6 feet away from me at the soundboard, and assisting minister for this day, and myself, Pastor Don. So this is going to be an unusual kind of thing, but it's the full liturgy of service of the word. Explanation about the music. The music is, sometimes we call it canned. Augsburg Fortress copyright has permitted us to broadcast this. And so we are using hymns from a wonderful organist like ours. On a majestic organ, pipe organ, you'll hear it. There'll be an introduction to each of the hymns you'll hear during the service. So you're not going to be able to sing unless you sing in your heart, sing to the Lord, and sing in your house. And none of us will hear you. So the service begins. We gather this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We offer our confession this day as we come before our Lord. Okay. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who is present, who gives life, who calls into existence the things that do not exist.
Amen. Amen.
If we were to keep watch over our sins, O Lord, who could stand? And yet with you is forgiveness, and so let us confess. Gracious God,
we have mercy on us.
We confess that we have turned away from you, knowingly and unknowingly.
We have wandered from your resurrection life.
We have strayed from your love for all people. Turn us back to you, O God. Give us new hearts and right spirits, that we may find what is pleasing to you and dwell in your house forever. Amen. Sing our opening hymn for this day. We're not going to sing it. You can sing it to God. We'll play it here in-house.
Thank you.
salutation, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Our hymn of praise for this day is, O God, our help in ages past, most appropriate in our condition here in America and throughout this world. God's people have been crying out in prayer. We hear the music and sing from our hearts to the Lord. Just heard, it's been part of Christian worship and expression of gratitude. Personally, preceding our February anniversary of Our Savior, its 100th anniversary, I made that as kind of a theme hymn, O God, our help. In those 100 years, as we have gone through changes and challenges in this nation, now too, it becomes our prayer of all Christians for all the things that have happened to us and how God delivered us. You know, sometimes the statement is made about Thanksgiving Day. Where do atheists go? And what do they do on Thanksgiving Day other than a meal? We at least have God to give thanks to. So too, when trouble or storms come at us, who do we go to in prayer? We go to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our service continues with the greeting, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And together, nope, not really, but Cheryl and Hope join me in the prayer of the day. And if you were in-house, you would have it too in your bulletin. We pray together.
Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ, and serve you in righteousness all of our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
We have the reading of God's Word. Cheryl, as a lector, gives us God's Word.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I usually say that that's not quite loud enough, but I understand. The next time we do this, we'll have you open your windows and yell good morning. How's that? First lesson comes from Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones is a promise that Israel, as a nation, though dead in exile, will live again in their land through God's life-giving spirit. Three times Israel is assured that through this vision, they will know that I am the Lord. The reading starts. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me around, all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh that came upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to this breath. Prophesy, mortals, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. They stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Word of life, word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 130. The antiphon is, "I wait for you, O Lord. In your word is my hope." We begin. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand?
And yet with you is forgiveness,
in order that you may be feared.
I wait for you, O Lord, and in your word is my hope.
I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your word is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who keep watch for the morning. More than those who keep watch for the morning.
O Israel, wait for the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption.
For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins. I wait for you, O Lord, and your word is my hope.
Second lesson comes from Romans. For Paul, Christian spirituality entails living in the reality of the Holy Spirit, the driving force behind our actions and values is not our sinful desire, for self-satisfaction, but the very spirit by which God raised Jesus from the dead and will also raise us from the dead. Here's the reading. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, through the body, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading of the day is in the Gospel of John. It's a lengthy one, so if you were in-house, you would be asked to be seated, kind of like the Sunday of the Passion Gospel. It's so lengthy. It's a healing miracle. It's a resurrection or resuscitation, technically, of a friend of the Lord Jesus, Lazarus. The account is recorded in John, the 11th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory be to you, O Lord. The text begins. Now a certain man was ill. He was Lazarus of Bethany. He lived in the village of Mary and as well as his sister Martha. Mary is the one who anointed Jesus' feet with perfume, wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent together a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you loved is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness doesn't lead to death. Rather, it's for God's glory so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister, Lazarus, the brother, and after hearing that Lazarus was ill, Jesus decided to stay 2 days longer in the place where he was ministering. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again, and there we'll see Lazarus. The disciples said to Jesus, Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you. Why are you going to go back there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. So after saying this, Jesus told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to go there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was merely referring, he was sleeping physically. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. So let us go to him. Thomas, who's called the twin, Didymus in Latin, he said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with Jesus. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem. It was some 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother Lazarus. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went. She met him outside the village while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to the Lord, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And so she said to Jesus, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God, the one who's coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, told her privately, the teacher is here. He's calling to see you. When she heard it, she got up quickly. She went to Jesus. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, they were consoling her in her grief, saw that Mary got up quickly and go out. So they decided they would follow her because they thought she was going to the tomb and there she could weep and grieve there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet. She said to him, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit, and he was moved deeply. He said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? And Jesus, again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave. The stone was lying up against it. Jesus said, take away that stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there's a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Jesus looked upward. He said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew you always heard me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you have sent me. So after Jesus said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth. His face was wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to those standing around, unbind him, let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. Amen. Not sure what gets your day started. This morning I was up about 10 to 3 and certainly pondering the service so it would truly be a worship service, not a studio production. So you know we're in the raw here. We are before you as three people who wanted to continue the worship in a safe and comfortable fashion for all of you hearing this by radio broadcast, WHLS. Our podcast, WHLS.net. So we greet you as we encounter God in this word. My day started a little bit differently, probably from the rest of you. Probably, well, many of you were sleeping. I happened to watch the Gaither Gospel Trio, both at 3 o'clock continuation, and then again a different one at 5 a.m. this morning. That second one, at 5 a.m., I had shared with my wife. As a new group who's joined the bandwagon of the Gaithers, they're called the Musical Construction Men. And they are hilarious and they are fantastic singers. They had the whole R production. In that R, they sang songs that just melted me in preparation for worshiping with you this day. This got my mojo going, and it was not caffeine. The first one, they did because he lived as they talked to Bill Gaither, who wrote the hymn. Bill gave a little bit of background that when their third grandchild was born, he and Gloria wrote that hymn, Because He Lives. It now is worldwide, and everybody just thinks it's one of the best hymns, say, in the Christian theology about resurrection and about the power to face each day, not in despair, but in hope, because Jesus Christ is victor, and he gives us that victory. I think that's a message we need here today. We're not losers. No matter what the outcome is, life or death, health or failure of health, we are still God's. And God has us by the shirt collar all the time. God is good. The second hymn that stirred me that the Carpenters sang was Mary, Did You Know? And I know Doug Cole thinks that's one of his favorite hymns. And we all love that. When Mark Lowry was in town 3 years ago, at Colonial Woods, he sang it. He was the one who composed it, and he did a marvelous job for it. But these two Carpenters, these singing Carpenters, they did a powerful job. Mary, Did You Know? Now, they sang many hymns, but the third one that got my mojo going was a traditional hymn, not something contemporary by the Gaithers, but it was How Great Thou Art. For our anniversary Sunday, the D. Terrys did a special updated peppy song of How Great Thou Art. No matter how you slice it, no matter what way you perform it, How Great Thou Art is a praise statement to God. And we're dwarfed by a God all-knowing, all-powerful, and a God who calls and acts in our behalf. That gets my day started. I hope your day gets started the same way. The Word of God is a good way to get the day started. We're going to turn to it. First reading is Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. When I was in seminary some 47 years ago, I said to myself, if I would write a book, Don, if you were that arrogant to write a book to the church, what would it be and what would you title it? And I thought to myself back then, 47 years ago, can these bones live? Looking at the church back then, looking at the church in America, which has decreased in terms of faithfulness and consistency, and the falling away of and the advancing of secularism upon the Christian motif of the day, makes you wonder, where is this all going? With that being negative, but just simply encountering God in this text of Ezekiel. Two different ways this text gets exegetically prepared, one of which is dealing with the original context. So what was that? Ezekiel, prophet of the Lord, writing to the kingdom of the north and the south through the prophet. The kingdom's been destroyed. They gave up their hope because God let them down. Do you ever feel that way? God lets you down? As if somehow God's really got some time to focus on your downside. No? So he says to the prophet, you stand in the middle of this valley. Don't take it literal. It's a vision. Exegetically, this is what it is. He stands in front of the valley of dry bones. I love this particular biblical text because Sharon Hudson had our men's chorus of 8 years sing this anthem about them bones, but dry bones. And the few of us who are still alive from the men's chorus, we remember singing it. We understand that in the midst of life and death, and in the midst of ecclesiology and church and people of God, that somehow it feels like it's drudgery, that it's lifeless. What's missing? Well, the Lord says, you say to the words out there, to these dry bones, come together, gather. So much for the myth that we can be a Christian without other people. It's a lie. Yes, we can be people of faith and have salvation by confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, believing in our hearts. God raised them from the dead. But it's not the full gist of life in Christ. It's people. That's why those of us who are regular in our attendance of worship miss the gathering of the saints. Somebody yesterday asked me, Pastor, how's it going for the church? I said, it's hard to tell. I said, I call people and other people call people. And I hope it's well, because we don't see each other. I don't know, because we're more than brick and mortar. We're more than just a structure or a mailbox. We are people, people of God. We were meant to gather together. We were meant to belong together. We are the fellowship. So he speaks over the bones. They all assemble, kind of like soldiers in line, ready to take marching orders. But the Lord God says to Ezekiel, are these bones alive yet? Lord, no. You know it. Okay, then you say to the four winds. You need to know in the Hebrew as well as in the Greek. Pneuma, that's the Greek word for wind, is the same word used. Spirit, the breath of God moved over the creation, Genesis 1:1, is used in Pentecost, Acts 2:1 and 2, when the Spirit was poured out upon all flesh on the day of Pentecost. Can these bones live? You say to the winds, come, gather together and breathe on these bones. And so they do. You see, Ezekiel, you see, Israel, you've been complaining about God letting you down. It's God who gathers you together. And even after this quarantine is done, I hope to see all the saints gathered together. This is what God wants of God's people, so that our strength is amplified and not diminished in our presence in this world and in our ministry. So the word goes out, they have life. Now, it's more than a spiritual song of a civil war, them bones, them bones. It's more than cutesy. Left hand connected to. No. It's what's going on here. You and I, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we can have all the ecclesiology, all the bishops, all the church councils, all the elect leaders, all the pastors, all the associates, all the ordained. But if we don't have the Spirit of God, we're not alive. So back in my life and spiritual journey 47 years ago, I began to understand what many of us experienced, and that was the Jesus movement. The Spirit of God was moving over this land. When the Spirit comes alive in us, we become animated for God. We become empowered. We become the fullness of what the divine wants of Israel, of the Church of Jesus Christ. Second reading, Romans 8, verses 6 to 11. Apostle Paul, writing to the church, Romans epistle is a wonderful one. It was formative in Martin Luther's Reformation theology. It was instrumental in Luther's commentary of Romans for many of the reformers to experience Jesus Christ in a personal way in his commentary. So here we are. Set your mind not on the flesh. That's going to be death. You look around us in our culture and the circumstances, squandering and running to grab all the toilet paper, all the fleshly things we want, and not thinking about the neighbor, picking up the extra one for somebody beside us, somebody who we know or perhaps worse are related to, and we ignore it. You see, the flesh is hostile to God. Doesn't submit to God's law, nor to civil law about low staying at home and sequestered or quotas of how much you take off the shelf. It cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But understand, those of you and I who are brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not in the flesh. We are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in us. Anyone who doesn't have the Spirit of Christ doesn't belong to Christ. So go recite your prayers and think you can impress God with your piety. You need his Spirit if you're going to be alive. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to this mortal body, also through the Spirit, already indwelling in you, in your physical frame. Those are words of hope. God forbid we should ever become a statistic in this battle waging in this world with a disease. But if that should happen, in a sense, we're not really losers if you take God's word seriously. He who raised Christ from the dead is going to give us what this mortal body can't have, and that is resurrection, a life without end. It's going to happen sometime. As we learned in our seminary years, decades ago, the death quota always remains the same, one per person. He's the Lord of the resurrection, and he will bring us to that day, which is the gospel lesson. How convenient of an entrance. John 11. Lengthy reading. Didn't I warn you of that? Excuse me. Three good friends. Two sisters, one brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You encounter Mary and Martha when Jesus comes home visit to them. We don't know where Lazarus is, out at the bar or the pub or attending to his whatever his secular employment was. All we know is about Mary and Martha. Then later in this text, we understand there was a brother, Lazarus. And if you remember that account, Mary wants to sit at the feet of Jesus. Martha thinks she's a slacker because she's not out there in the kitchen doing the chores like a woman should do for a man. So she comes to the Lord Jesus and says, "You tell my sister, get out here. I need help." And Jesus scolds her with love. She has chosen the better thing. That is to hear the word of God. How many times we're so active, so busy, we don't have time. We make excuses why we don't hear the word of God. So, interesting tale John and the gospel writer puts together for us. That is to say, Lazarus is gravely then in a grave, and Mary and Martha are sending transmissions, not by YouTube, not by text, and not by emails, not by cellular. They're trying to get the word to Jesus, "Get back here, we need you." And Jesus deliberately, John tells us, waits. He does not respond at their beck and call. That kind of raises a question mark. Why would Jesus tarry? Why would he not answer the call of you or I or Martha and Mary and come at our beckoning? We don't know. That's known only to God. And we leave it there. But God, who is good and perfect, who knows our needs even before we speak them in our prayers, Jesus turns and goes back to danger and risk. As the disciples well know, when they say, "Don't go there, we're going to get killed," he says, "We're going. We're going to face the enemy, and we're going to face death." Get there. You can imagine Martha seems to be scolding Mary with the dinner engagement at their house. Now she's in front of Mary and runs to see Jesus first before Mary. She says, "Lord, if you would have been," I could just imagine her voice raised. Don't you get angry when grief takes place? Don't you want to appeal to some higher power and say, "Where were you when I prayed? Why didn't you hear me?" And all the while, Jesus takes it in. He doesn't scold her. He knows how frail we are, how vulnerable we are at the time of grief. He hears us, and he doesn't punish us. He says, "This was done for a purpose, Mary, so that the glory of God can be revealed at this time." They go on to see Mary. Mary comes rushing out, still not in the village, meet mutually together. She brings grievers. Of course, it was a village thing whenever a death occurred in a small town. Everybody came to the deceased home, that family who was grieving, and cried and weeped and wailed with them. Highly emotional event. And they're screaming and howling with Mary.
And they come out and follow her like, and she's going to the grave. I want to be with her. I want to be with her. And she goes to meet Jesus. And Jesus says, let's go back. Let's go back to the tomb. I want to see your brother. Say, look, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. It's going to stink. Have you ever smelled something that's been dead a few days? Sometimes all you have to do is open up your refrigerator. You get a smell of it, and you say, oh my gosh, dead mouse in the house, basement, garage. And you say, oh, that's gross. But Jesus knows it's not going to be gross. He commands, come on out, Lazarus. Lazarus, probably with a little bit of delay, and obviously restricted by the binding, which was the burial garb. You wrap the body with ointments and things to kind of take away the smell, like you and I might want to do with Lysol or something to freshen it up, or, you know, Febreze. How's that for contemporary? And he says to the audience around him, go take care of your friend. He's bound up, unbind him. I've heard commentators over the years refer to this, that's the job of you and I. We're to unbind those in our midst who are bound up by addictions, need to recover, problems, issues that sidetracked us from the primary call to serve God with all our time, all our energy, and with all our heart and soul. We're to do ministry to one another. So Jesus invites the townspeople to go do their ministry. He didn't do it for them. He didn't have it miraculously vanish. There's purpose for every word in this text. It is not accidental. He invites them to participate, to help make him free, to move in this world as one of God's loved children. Consequently, Jesus makes it clear he truly is. This is one of the seven signs of the Gospel of John. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall not die, but shall live forevermore. This God of ours, in this Lenten season, as we march on, either together or separate, we're marching on to Calvary, Good Friday, marching on to an empty tomb, which is proclaiming Christ is alive, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. And like the hymn that the Gaithers wrote, because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. And Mary, did you know all that? The second hymn of Mark, Laurie. You and I, graced by God, during this condition of the United States, in every situation of your life, my life, which can vary millions of ways, God miraculously adapts to our context and our situation. And he hears our cry. And he promises, not just in this life, but in the life to come, a resurrection existence, where this body will be wonderfully transformed into a body that will never become ill, never have viruses, never have conditions, just only good times, good days in the presence of God. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us. You may remain with us always. Amen. We sing our hymn of the day, Guide Me, Thou Great Redeemer.
as is our custom, after hearing the word of God, a response is appropriate. And so in our tradition, we don't do altar calls. Our affirmation of faith comes by the statement of faith taught by the original apostles as a summary statement in the baptismal creed, the Apostles' Creed. So at your house, join with me.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our worship continues with our prayers as our assisting minister, Hope Dorsbacher, leads us.
Turning our hearts to God, in who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of life, bind your faithful people into one body. Enliven the church with your spirit and bless the work of those who work for its renewal. Accomplish your work of salvation in us and through us for the sake of the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of life, you love the world. You have made that you grieve when creation suffers. Restore polluted lands and waterways. Heal areas of world ravaged by storms, floods, wildfires, droughts, and other natural disasters. Bring all things to new life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of life, show redemption to all who watch and wait with eager expectation, those longing for wars to cease, those for immigration paperwork to finalize, those seeking election, and those in dire need of humanitarian relief. Come quickly with your hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of life, you weep with those who grieve. Unbind all who are upheld captive by anxiety, despair, or pain, especially for the lives lost in the past 3 months from the COVID virus and the grieving of hundreds of thousands of family members impacted. For those who necessary and elective surgeries have been rescheduled due to the current medical crisis. For those providing research for cure of COVID-19, for the healthcare providers, for the patients waiting, and for those still to become ill, for the family members who are caregivers, and for the family of Christine Youngblood with her passing. Fill us with compassion and empathy for those who struggle, and keep us faithful in prayer. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of life, we give thanks for opportunities for this congregation to collaborate with our community in caring for needs of our neighbors. Strengthen our ties with other local congregations, agencies, and services. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of life, you are our resurrection. We remember all those who have died in trusting you, and they will live again. Breathe new life into our dry bones that we too might live with you forever. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all of our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now at this time in the service, we would have the deacons pass plates. For the offering, I would submit to those who are members of our Savior, you can send your gifts and offerings to us to the church office, 1029 6th Street, Port Huron, Michigan, 48060. And for those who go to other churches, we need to make certainly a plea for everybody to support their local congregation. We don't get government funds. We're not going to get any checks. But we do depend on faithful stewards in our congregation and our community to enable the ministry that does ministry to the community and to the congregation. So we ask you to be faithful during this time of stress to everybody. Continue to be proportionate to what you receive, to what you share through the body of Christ. So we continue with our prayer, offering prayer. Holy and generous host, you set a table where we feast as friends. Prepare us to witness to your goodness with every gift you have given us to share. That all people may know your peace through Jesus Christ, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And we have an offertory hymn, which is Now Thank We All Our God by Organ Music, recorded for us by Augsburg Fortress. Some back seat drop talking here off microphone while that beautiful hymn was playing. Cheryl, you want to say some things about what's been going on and how people can do things personally?
I think I just wanted to let people know that, you know, we're here in the building because we want to be. We know that God is important not only in our lives, but in our families' lives, our church family and our community, and we too struggle with what more can we do. You know, it's become a little more of a habit for social distancing, which is nice, but last week Hope took just a thinking of you card over to our neighbor on either side of our house just to say, you know, if you needed something or you couldn't get out or Just a little something. Now, have we heard from them? No, it's not necessary. We include them in our prayers because we know that they're right there. But the community is right there. And we are all kind of pulling together. Do we get a little cabin fever?
Yeah.
Do we jump on one another?
Yep.
Yeah. But the bottom line is we know that we love one another and that God loves us. And he can smile down at us when we go through our antics and so on and so forth. You are very important to us as a congregation, but to us personally.
Amen.
My husband was trying to wrap it up for us.
Yeah, she always talks about my talking too much. You're the blessing. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Holy God speaking, spoken, and inspiring. Bless you, unbind you, and send you in love and in peace. Amen. Mm-hmm. I want you to know my wife made an executive decision which overruled the pastor. We're going to close with a mighty fortress, but Hope's going to speak the dismissal.
Go in peace. Share the good news from Cheryl. Thanks be to God. Be safe.